Hello everyone, welcome to Computer Science E76. As you can tell, we seem to have just a fewer people here this week than there were last week. Of course, the Extension School canceled classes for this week, but the show must go on, as it were, and so we decided to go ahead and record it anyway so that we can still show you all of the topics that we want to present to you and still maintain the schedule that we have in our syllabus. So with that, we're going to go back a little bit to some of the topics that we sort of ran out of time to talk about last week, and specifically we were talking a bit about HTML5 and some of the neat things that you can do with that to make it a little bit more mobile friendly. And so we had shown some of the interesting things about it, like some of the new elements that exist in HTML5 and some of the fancy new CSS things that you can do with CSS3, which include animations and a variety of other things like fancy curved corners on divs, etc. And all of these are things that we talked about last week. But there were a few examples that we didn't actually get the chance to finish going over, and I thought that we might take the chance a few minutes today to do that. And so last week, we left off at about index 5, I think, when we were talking about some of the ways that we can use CSS to show or to create different mobile experiences, or a different experience for a mobile device than for a desktop machine. And we talked about how it's useful to have a layout that is more horizontal for a desktop machine because you have a lot more horizontal screen space. But on a mobile device, you don't really have that much space, and it's really annoying to have to scroll all the way over to the right and back to the left, and so it's usually better to then have a much more column-like layout or a single-column layout. And so one of the ways that this same page can be displayed on a mobile device might be something like this. It's definitely a more vertical experience, and this is an easier way for us to read and consume all of the content. And you saw this same thing on previous versions of this index page. We actually just show that we can use only CSS to change the actual layout itself. But now one of the things that we want to do is be able to have one page, not have two separate HTML pages that have only in variation the CSS file that's referenced, but instead we want to have some way of having the computer, the client machine, pick which CSS file it should use. In other words, the machine that you are using, if it's an iPhone, for example, or an Android device, it probably knows that it is a mobile device, and it will be able to treat a web page differently than some other page that's designed for a desktop. And so how can we do that? Well, there's some ways that we can do it with CSS. And in fact, this same HTML page has been loaded both on this iPhone and also on the desktop machine here, and you can see the difference in the CSS. These are the same two CSS files that we've used, but instead, now we don't need separate HTML files. If we take a look at the CSS code, we can see what sort of tricks we might be able to do to access this. So down here, you can see that we have linked to two style sheets. One is, the top one is the desktop style sheet, and the second one is the mobile style sheet. And you can see that the device will pick which one is appropriate, or rather the browser will pick which one is appropriate dependent on what type of media it decides it is. So we can add this hierarchy of media and have these sorts of selectors to determine which CSS is actually used. So in this case, we can see that, okay, if the desktop, we might use the desktop style sheet if it's a screen and it has a minimum device width of about 481 pixels. And this might be kind of reasonable, and especially last year, this would have been a very reasonable thing, because at the time, no mobile devices really had resolutions that were higher than 481 pixels. Now you can see the next one here, okay, we might use mobile instead if it's a screen and the max width is 480 pixels. So this goes along the same thing. Okay, if we have a screen that's no wider than 480 pixels, then it's probably reasonable to use the mobile device. Now you can see that we have, of course, a separate one for Internet Explorer altogether, because it may not fully understand what's going on with these media selectors, and that's okay. But there is a problem with this, and specifically, a lot of the modern mobile devices that we use actually do have screens that are very high resolution, and so it will actually use the desktop CSS version. And as you can tell, this is not a perfect solution using this sort of CSS method. It's not a perfect solution. And while you might be able to get it to work, you might have to tweak it every so often if it is somehow imperfect or if there is some device that for some reason still demands that it uses the desktop version of the style sheet. So is there another way that we would be able to accomplish this same thing without using this sort of CSS media selection? Well, in fact, there is, and we can use JavaScript to accomplish the same sort of thing. And in fact, JavaScript is the topic that we're going to be talking about at length today, and we're going to use JavaScript to really go into some of the really interesting things that we can do with mobile devices and some of this HTML5 stuff at large, including selecting a style sheet and later on some AJAX stuff, geolocation, local storage, a whole bunch of really interesting, fascinating things. So moving along to the next version of the HTML file, you can see that this looks now largely the same. In fact, it is exactly the same as the one that we had on the previous version. But now what we are going to do instead is determine which device is being run by using JavaScript to analyze the user agent string. So you might recall last week that we were talking about among the HTTP headers that are sent from the computer to the server is this concept of a user agent string, which tells the server a little bit about your own computer, what sort of operating system it's running, what browser it's using, maybe some other details as well. And so we can actually harness that user agent string in JavaScript to be able to determine which CSS we actually want. So there's a couple of important things going on. Notice that if we didn't have this if statement, we have essentially just the document.write. And what this method does is it takes whatever text exists in as parameter and it prints it out into the HTML document. And it does that sort of in memory. It doesn't actually do that in the raw page itself, because as you can see, what we're seeing is the JavaScript code and not the result of this if statement. But this does allow the browser, while it's rendering this page, to make the determination of which style sheet it actually wants to use. So here we have an if statement, and all we want to do with this if statement, the goal of this is just to determine which platform we are using. If we're using a mobile platform, then we will write out the mobile CSS. If we're using a desktop platform, we'll write out the desktop CSS. So that's what this if statement does. If navigator.useragent.indexOf. So indexOf is a method that allows you to basically search for some text within a string, and if it exists, it tells you the index. It tells you the position of that string within the larger string. So in this case, it's searching this long user agent for the word iPhone. And it's also searching that long string for the text Android. And if either of those are found, what it's going to do is it's going to return an index that is not -1. And in this case, what we are saying is, okay, if there's actually an index, if iPhone, if the word iPhone or if the word Android is found in the user agent, we can assume this is a mobile platform and we will instead use the mobile CSS. If for whatever reason neither of those are present in the user agent string, then we might be able to assume that it's a desktop machine. Now, of course, we're not taking into account all of the mobile platforms, WebOS, BlackBerry, so on and so forth, but we could add some additional things there as well to account for those additional devices. And so, as we mentioned last week, using Safari to do this sort of development is actually pretty interesting, because you can actually change the user agent within Safari. So there's a develop menu where you can actually select the user agent that you want. And in this case, when I select iPhone, it reloads the page. And because of the JavaScript, you can see that it has now changed the look of the page. It's using the mobile CSS that we've set. And this is actually a bit better, perhaps, of a way of being able to determine if you're using a mobile platform, rather than relying on some of the quirks, perhaps, of the way that different browsers interpret the CSS selection. Now, taking it even one step further, I'm still using the same user agent. Let me go back to the default user agent here. Okay, so now this is the same idea, and we're basically going to be doing exactly the same thing, except the method that we're using to search for the user agent is going to be slightly different. Rather than using the index of, I just want to show you that there's different ways that we can match the user agent to the one that we want to do. In this case, we're going to look in the user agent, we're going to use the match method instead. And what the match method does is it allows you to actually run a regular expression against the string itself. So again, navigator.userAgent actually is a property that contains the entire user agent string of the web browser, and we can use any number of methods that we can for strings, like match, index of, so on and so forth, to be able to try to find these words to indicate that, or to give us a clue that we are using mobile platforms. So in this case, we're just going to use a simple regular expression to match either iPhone in case insensitivity or Android in case insensitivity, and we will do exactly the same thing. So really, this is very similar to the previous one, just that we're using a different method in JavaScript to try to search the user agent string for what might be a the proper mobile device. Now, if you want to take it even further than this, you might have to do something entirely different. You might still use this user agent trick, but rather than doing it client-side, you might want to do it on the server side. Now, I'm not connected to the internet. Okay. Well, okay, so what we have is in version 8, even though it's sort of outside of the scope of this class to talk about server-side scripting. If for that, you should probably take a class like Computer Science E75. But this does show you, Index 8 will actually show you what sort of things to expect when using something like PHP instead of JavaScript. So this is the code from index8.php. And in this, we're now doing this on the server side. We're still searching the user agent string to see if the word iPhone or if the word Android exists within it, but now we're just doing this on the server instead. Recall that the user agent string is part of the HTTP, it's sent as part of the HTTP headers from the client to the server. So when the server receives all of these headers and it's processing this script, it tries to determine if iPhone or if Android exists within the user agent string that was sent to it, and then it actually writes out in the actual HTML the proper style sheet that we want. Now, this may not have a huge increase in advantage over using one of the JavaScript methods, one of the client-side methods that we saw before. But where this could be useful is if you need to do more than just select a style sheet. Maybe the content actually changes. Maybe the layout, maybe the elements themselves somehow change dependent on what the user agent of the web browser actually is. And this is a reasonable thing to expect, given the vast number of web browsers and mobile devices that we have out there today. And if you're going to do something like this, it's better probably not to roll your own user agent string parser, but instead to use a framework, something like Werfl, W-U-R-F-L. I'll try to show it to you, but as you can see, we are having problems here. Okay, so W-U-R-F-L, it's basically just a very large text file, and they have some versions, some frameworks available for PHP and I think a couple of other scripting languages as well that allow you to parse this file and figure out some of the information that you can get out of this user agent string. And specifically, it will tell you a number of things about the capabilities of the platform and the capabilities of the browser. And so if you want to go this way of looking through the user agent, you might want to consider using something like Werfl instead of actually searching through the user agent string yourself. Now, one of the last things that I want to show you was this mobile platform, or rather this sort of mobile-specific page that we had seen before, where there's quite a few interesting things to be found in this. And specifically, there's a couple of new and interesting tags that are mobile-specific. Even though they're part of the larger HTML5 scheme, they tend to really make more sense only for a mobile device. And that is included in this mobile.html page, which was from Lecture 0 source code. So here there's a couple of links. For example, at the very top you can see that you can actually initiate a phone call if you click on this link. And the way that we can do that is just by having a special link, just by using an href that instead of having a URL, we can use this TEL colon prefix to be able to tell the browser that this is a telephone number rather than a URL. It's very similar to the idea of using the mail to link to tell the web browser that the link is actually for an email address rather than for a URL, or rather a URL to a web page, to be more specific. So in this case, we can specify that we want to create a phone number. And when you actually click on this on mobile device, but as you can tell, you know, we're having some issues with the web, so I can't show you on a mobile device right now. It will actually ask you if you want to initiate a call from your mobile device. You can do the same thing, a similar thing rather, to create a text message, to initiate an SMS message. You can just use the SMS moniker instead of TEL, and you can actually send a text. It will load up the user's text messaging program and have the number pre-filled in it so that they can just text a message to that specific number. Now, there's a couple of interesting things that you can do with input boxes as well. As you might know, when you click or when you're on a mobile device and you tap on a text box like this, it brings up the virtual keyboard for you to select some keys and select some text from it when you're typing your input into it. Now, you can actually give the browser a hint as to what sort of text you're expecting just by nature of changing some of the HTML associated with that input box. So again, these look like standard input boxes to our desktop machine, but when we load these up, they actually look very different on the virtual keyboard of, say, an iPhone. So the very first one, the very top one, is a standard input type. When you tap on that, it will load up the standard keyboard with all, you know, A through Z and the space bar and the period, so on and so forth, all of those characters that are typical in a virtual soft keyboard. But when instead you select one of these other ones, such as the email input type, it changes the layout of the keyboard to match that of whatever the keyboard is for email. So instead of the space bar, for example, you might see an at sign, a button for an at sign. And it might make more prominence the period and maybe a .com or .net or something like that to make it easier for you to type in an email. Similarly, the URL input type will change the keyboard to make it a little bit easier to type in a URL. So in this case, you will see something like the .com and the .net button that might exist in the virtual keyboard. And this is all done just with some valid HTML5. And again, this is all part of the HTML spec, but it's really only useful for us in a mobile environment. So you can see that at the very top, we have an input type text. That's the standard text box. And this is something that you've probably seen, even though we would have perhaps a few more attributes and values associated with it in a typical form. But some of the other ones, the email input type, for example, all it is just an input type of email. And you can even specify some additional attributes to help the iPhone, rather to help the users with an iPhone, have a little bit less hard of a time trying to type some data into this text box. You can turn off autocorrect, you can turn off autocomplete, and you can turn off auto capitalization, which might be a nice feature for things like emails or for URLs. These might be useful attributes. And similarly, the URL input type is just input type URL. Now, there's a couple of other things as well. For example, if we have a couple of interesting tags at the very top, so for example, we have added some meta tags to the head element of this web page. We can see that we have Apple Mobile Web App status bar style set to black, and Apple Mobile Web App capable is yes. And what this means is that this actually allows your web app to be placed on the home screen of a user. So if we have something that looks like this, you might want to be able to put it on your home screen. So you can see that there's a button right here that says Add to Home Screen. And having these meta tags allows you to specify some things like the icon that's used at the very top here. So this was done before. This is of the same page, this mobile page that we're seeing in the background. But now we can see that there's an icon that's specified there. And when we click on it, let's hope that the internet actually works. When you click on it, you can actually specify the color of the menu bar at the very top, for example. You can also specify that it be essentially a full page. Let's see. I'm going to try this one more time. Okay, here. So this is still a web page, but you can see that now it looks a little bit more native because there's not the URL bar associated with Safari. There's not the buttons along the bottom. We've told this app that it's, or we've told the iPhone that this is actually a web app by adding these meta tags. And you can see that the bar at the very top has changed to black from the usual typical gray color that it might normally be. So just to give you an example of what that bar looks like in Safari, it looks like this. The gray bar at the top. Whoops, there's some there. So like that. So that's the difference by adding some of these meta tags. And now, one last thing that's sort of interesting, you can actually add some additional WebKit-specific CSS. Notice that there's at the very bottom a sentence that says, try to select this sentence. And what this means is that normally what you can do is use your mouse or use your finger on the iPhone to select some text within the page, but by adding a WebKit tag, you can actually disallow the selection of that page. And I'm going to suggest that you not use this to try to protect the content on the page, because frankly, it's going to be very easy for them to copy it anyway, just because it's already there. They could take a screenshot. They could retype it. It really doesn't matter. But this might actually be useful because you don't want them, when they're clicking around on the screen, you don't want them to actually accidentally select some text. It might actually be advantageous in some way like that.